Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone out this evening. Jim was saying we didn't have a big number this evening. We've got to have one of the biggest numbers for an evening service in the Dayton area.
Yeah.
And I was thinking years and years ago, before I married my bride and I was in my early 20s, me and a couple other guys, where we were members, on Sunday evening we met at a different time than the Haines Street congregation, and sometimes we would go to our service and then run on over to Haines Street and be at their service, you know. And it just seems you see this, I don't know what to call it, but this shift from people wanting to come together more and more to coming together less and less. So it's good that everyone is out this evening. I pray that you'll be edified by the things that I have to say and that God will be glorified. Our text this evening from John 8 and verse 44, "You're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and is not standing the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So I want us to look this evening about lying and some lies that Satan tells us. Have you ever known someone that told lies? I would dare say that we all have. One company that I worked for, they had a reputation that was kind of one way or the other, and I was giving them the benefit of the doubt when I went to work for them. And whenever you would start a job, I don't know if it's the same today or not, there's like a 90-day waiting period before you would get insurance. You had this period you had to wait, 90 days. The president of the company, when he was recruiting me, he said, "Bruce, you start and work for us and we'll give you insurance the first day." And that was a big benefit, because, I mean, it cost a lot for the insurance premiums. Well, I went up to Cleveland and he was taking me around through the departments, and we came to the HR department, and I don't remember the lady's name, but he said, "So-and-so, backdate Bruce's application 90 days. And I thought, well, that's not honest. And there were a couple other things that I saw where he was not honest, and I stopped working for them and went to work for someone else. When someone tells a lie, you can never trust them. You can never believe them. You want to say, "Well, are you telling me the truth this time, or are you telling me another lie?" Maybe you've told a lie. Has anyone lied about you? Sometimes you might be, and again, in a work situation, and people, to make themselves look good, will tell a lie about you. "Well, I told him to do this, he just didn't do it." And they may have never told you to do it. Have you ever believed a lie? I would say we've all been deceived one way or another at some time. Someone told us something and we believed it and it turned out not to be true. When we lie, we are claiming kinship with the devil. The devil, the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of it, John 8:44. When we reject the truth, all that is left is lies. And when somebody does not want to accept the Bible, all that is left for them to believe is a lie. And to believe a lie is to be deceived. The Bible says a lot about being deceived. And when I was looking for slides to use in this, it was hard to come up with some that tied in with lying. And I saw this one of Pinocchio. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Mara, or not. But whenever he would tell a lie, his nose would grow. We need that today so we can tell who's telling the truth and who's telling a lie. So Satan is the father of lies, the great deceiver. And it's our responsibility that we do not allow him to deceive us. So in this lesson, we want to look at some of those lies that he tells us. And again, they're like a fishing lure. They're deceptive. They are deceptive, and he wants us to bite on them. You look around in our country, and there are so many lies that are being taught. We're taught that it's America's teaching its people to ridicule God's word and call it open-mindedness. You don't believe this, you don't believe that, you're just closed-minded and narrow-minded. You've got to accept all of these beliefs. And again, that's part of this doctrine out there today. You got to include everybody. You got to have diversity. You got to have everybody's belief being equal. America has taught its people to worship other gods and call it multiculturalism. Oh, it's so good that we can worship so many different gods. People are taught to be lazy, and we call it welfare. People are taught to kill babies and call it a woman's choice. People are taught to live in fornication, man with a woman or man with man, woman with woman. And it's not called sin, it's just called an alternate lifestyle. It's called choice. America has taught its young people to use protection and call it sexual freedom. You can do whatever you want. America's taught its people not to discipline its children and call it the building of self-esteem. If you tell children, don't do this, don't do that, you're going to warp their personality. They aren't going to be able to reach their full potential. You just let them run wild and do what they want to do. America's taught its people to throw God out of the schools and the government and call it separation of church and state. I was telling Carol a point about this morning. Someone made the point, you know, when the homosexual agenda came out and people would stand up and say it's against the Bible, they would say, oh no, you can't bring the Bible into this. You can't bring the Bible into government. People have the right to do whatever they want to do. They say people had the right to do whatever they want to do in the privacy of their own home. Well, that was a lie, because it's not in the privacy of their own home now. It's out in the streets, it's in the libraries, it's on TV, it's everywhere where this is being pushed. But they said you can't bring the Bible into it. Now, you fast forward to today, and there's all of this discussion of Israel and things going on in the world. And it's interesting, and not to get into politics, but it's interesting, those same politicians that would say you can't bring the Bible into this, now they want to bring the Bible into politics and say Israel is God's chosen people. We've got to do this. We can't do that. And they want to use the Bible when it's convenient for them. They want to use it the way they want to use it. They want to use it instead of looking at the whole counsel of God. They want to look at a verse here and a verse there. And when you do that, you aren't being honest. You aren't being truthful. America has taught its people to believe we evolved from an ape, and we call it science. And as people have pointed out, that's why a lot of people act like monkeys, because that's what they were taught growing up in the schools. America has taught its people there are no absolute truths, and we call ourselves a learned generation. People say you can't be absolute. That's too legalistic. Well, you just stop and think. When someone says there are no absolute truths, are you absolutely sure about that? You just see the silliness in that. But we've got to get back to the word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So there are billions of people believing lies today, and I want us to look at seven lies that are being taught. The first one to look at is the word of God is not true. Genesis 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" What did the serpent, what did Satan say? "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" He put that little word "not" in there. He says the word of God is not true. Friends, that's a lie that Satan is pushing that so many people believe. Another lie: God will make an exception in my case. We go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua, for the account when they went in into the land. They conquered Jericho. They were victorious in that. They thought the next city that they had to conquer would be easy, a real small place. And in Joshua 7:12, "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they've become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." Down in verse 21, speaking of Achan, "When I saw the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it." So they were instructed not to take anything for themselves, any of the spoil. What did Achan think? "I'm the exception. I can get away with that. I can do it. God told those others not to do it, but that doesn't apply to me. I'm going to do that. Nobody's going to know about it. I see it. I want it. I'm going to covet it. I'm going to take it. And I'll hide it. I'll bury it in my tent in the ground, and nobody will know about it." Does God make an exception in our case? No. No. And the Israelites were not successful when they went into the battle. It was revealed to them what had taken place. And what did they do with Achan? They took him out and they stoned him, his family, everything that they had. I believe after they stoned him, they burned him, which they did a lot of times. God wanted to make clear, you do what I say, when I say, no exceptions. And he wanted this to be a lesson to everybody else. But God will make an exception in my case. I can get away with something. Well, did the people in Sodom and Gomorrah get away with what they were doing? How about Lot's wife? When she was told not to look back, don't look back, but God will make an exception in my case, I'll look back. God didn't make an exception in her case, and she was turned to a pillar of salt. The days of Noah, God judged those people because every imagination of their hearts were on evil continually. Did God make an exception and save people outside of the ark? You know how many people he saved outside of the ark? Zero. Zero. He did not make any exceptions. But Satan tells us, God's going to make an exception with you, and you can be saved some way other than what those people over at that church tell you you got to do. You don't have to listen to them. Nadab and Abihu, did God make an exception with them? Nope. They offered strange fire. They were struck dead. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what I told you. God is holy, and if you come before God, you must treat him as holy. God will not make an exception. Israel was carried into Babylonian captivity. The northern kingdom was carried into Assyrian captivity. We see as we're going through the Old Testament history, when God told him to do something, you do this and I will bless you. You do this and I will curse you. Judas didn't get away with his sin. John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You will not be, and I will not be, the exception to anything that God says in the Bible. But Satan tells us that you're going to be the exception. You can go ahead and do it and get away with it. Another lie that Satan tells us, I can't be happy if I live a Christian life. You know, some go out, go to bars or clubs for happy hour, or some go anytime or all the time whenever they can. Friends, the only happy hour on the face of this earth is when one is right with God. When we are right with God, that is a happy hour, that's a happy day, that's a happy life. And people are looking for this in all the wrong places. Why? Because Satan has deceived them. Satan has lied to them. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. But some people think they just can't have fun as a Christian. Christianity, that's for old people that are too old to have any fun, so they become Christians then. Some are double-minded, and they will never be happy. James 1:8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But Satan wants you to think, if you're a Christian, you just aren't going to have any fun. James says in chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Some people have just enough religion to make them miserable. They want to be saved, but they want to know, do I have to go to every service? Do I have to read my Bible every day? Do I have to pray? Do I have to talk about to others about their soul? I can't have a happy life if I have to do all of that. Friends, you do that, and you're going to have the happiest life there is. Yet Satan, he's going to deceive you and tell you, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Another lie that Satan says is that there are many ways to heaven. This is a very popular lie. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. No exceptions. There's no other way. There's no other truth. We cannot go to the Father. We cannot go to heaven except through Christ. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Two 2,000 years later, that's still happening. False teachers out there appearing very innocent, yet they are wolves that want to kill us. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You know, we see this transformation, and sometimes, and I see on TV and on shows sometimes these pictures, there'll be a bunch of devils dressed in these red suits with pitchforks and these great big horns, and they look real scary. If somebody like that walked up to us and told us something, I would guess that we would be scared and not want to believe what they said. But is that how Satan comes to us? He doesn't come to us looking like some scary demon. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He transforms himself to look like the sweetest, nicest person there is, but he's telling you a lie. He's telling us lies. And we say, well, that person is so nice, they're so sweet, they can't be telling us a lie. Yes, they can. There's only one way to heaven. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Matthew 7:21, we know about the narrow gate, the broad gate, the narrow road, the broad road. There are going to be few that go to heaven. Does that mean there's going to be just a handful of people up there? No. We know from the book of Revelation there's going to be an innumerable host. There's going to be more people than we can count, but it's few compared to the many. That's a comparative term. Few compared to the many that follow that road of destruction. You and I do not have a vote on how many ways there are to God. We don't get our say-so. We don't get our opinion. How many ways do you think there are to heaven? Well, I think there's two. I think there's half a dozen. No, there's probably 100 ways. There's one way. There's one way to heaven, and we don't get to vote on anymore. Another lie Satan wants you to believe, my sin is my business, and I'm not hurting anybody but me. Well, that's a lie. A man gets involved in a sin, then he doesn't want to talk about it. He thinks that it's none of the church's business. Friends, it is our business because we care about one another. We don't want somebody to lose their soul by not caring about them, by not helping them with what they are struggling with. But some people think, well, whatever I do, it's my business and nobody else's. Think about the influence you have on others. Mothers and fathers, think about your children. Your children are going to remember what they saw you do over what they were told. Now, if a parent tells their children, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and then they see daddy or mommy turn around and do that, what are they going to remember when they grow up? They aren't going to remember what they were told. They're going to remember what they saw. David destroyed his family because of his adultery and murder. He could have thought, and probably the devil was whispering in his ear, you're the exception. You're going to get away with this. Nobody's going to know. Don't worry about it. All the lies that Satan could come up with. And David, when he realized the sin that he was in, you could just see how it changed him for the rest of the life that he had left. The bloodshed in his family, the death of a child, the fighting, the warring going on, the public humiliation. He lay with Bathsheba privately. His wives were taken out and men laid with them publicly in the open. Everybody knew what was going on. My sin is my business and I'm not hurting anybody but me. Satan wants you to believe that lie. 2 Samuel 12, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You've killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You've taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me. You've taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun, and the child shall die. Friends, our sin hurts others. Romans 14:7, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. The only gospel that some people will see is the way they see us live. What is the gospel according to your life? How many mothers and fathers have taken their children to a devil's hell? How many husbands and wives have taken their mates to hell? God expects us to maintain stewardship over our life. You can't say it's your life. I can't say it's my life. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. The lives of others count. And in 1 Corinthians 4:2, and this is repeated many other places, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We are stewards of what God gives us. We are servants. Christ is our master. He bought us. He owns us. He expects us to live a certain standard. I must control my vessel so as not to hurt others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. But Satan says, your sin is your business. It's not hurting anybody else. In writing to the Corinthians, Paul said, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And Corinthians 5:6, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? You let that little bit of sin in, and what's it going to do? It's going to spread in your mind. It's going to take over everything. Well, another lie, there is no judgment day. Acts 17, verse 30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commends all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. People say, but there's no judgment day. Satan says there's no judgment day. You don't have to worry about that. Everybody's going to heaven. Or you're just going to heaven when you die. But notice, he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world. Again, there's a set time, this universal judgment day. Matthew 25:46, these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, Jesus is going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished into everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. But Satan says there's no judgment day. You don't have to worry about that. We will reap what we have sown. What if today were your last day? The last lie, you have plenty of time to obey God. This story that I have on this slide, I remember this from when I was a little boy. It's a very old story, but the devil had a meeting in hell on how to deceive people. One demon said, "Let's tell him the Bible is not true." The devil said, "That'll work, but to a point." A second demon said, "Let us tell him that Jesus is not the Lord." The devil replied, "That'll work, but only up to a point." Another demon said, "Let us tell him that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is Lord, but let's convince the people that they have all the time in the world to obey." And the devil loved that. Procrastination. The devil is going to say, "Yep, the Bible is true. The Bible is true. Jesus is Lord. But you don't have to worry about that today. Wait till you get older. Wait till tomorrow. You deserve to have a little fun. What if today were your last day on the earth? Where would you spend eternity?" Acts 24 and verse 25. "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" See, Satan got to Felix with this lie. You've got time. You've got time. You don't need to obey the gospel now. And friends, if you wait for a convenient season to obey God, I'm afraid that it might not come. We just never know. Now is the day of salvation. Friend, when we look at what Satan says and what the Bible says, the Word of God is true. God will not make an exception in my case. I can be happy if I live a Christian life. There is only one way to heaven. And my sin is your business, and I affect and influence everyone that I'm around. There is a judgment day, and friends, you do not have plenty of time to obey God. None of us are guaranteed another day. So many of us, we hear all the time, we wake up in the morning and get a phone call or get a text message or an email, and so-and-so just passed. Friends, there's no promise of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. We need to obey while we can. We need to stop listening to Satan's lies. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond this evening, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
No tears in heaven.